Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo, tabbouleh, real potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil, zucchini ziti, granola, fruit bar. Yeah. Look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, where I interview amazing people with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. My guest today, wow, it is a real honor for her to be a guest on my podcast. She is an absolutely hilarious comedian. Her specials, La Vie on Rhodes and Sad Lemon, fantastic. You can see Sad Lemon for free on YouTube. She has a new special coming out called Ladybug in September. She recently opened for Bill Burr in front of thousands. And she was also recently on tour with me in Israel, where we performed for tens. Please welcome Erica Rhodes.
Wow, what an honor to be here.
Yes.
I thought you'd never ask.
Well, you kept texting me and saying, when are you going to ask?
Well, I just kept sending you photos of my fridge.
Yeah. Like, unsolicited.
Unsolicited. I was like, here's my fridge now. Do you want to see my fridge on a Wednesday? Mm-hmm. Look at my fridge on Sunday. What do you think?
Yeah, and eventually I was like, it's spamming my phone so much. My phone battery was just dying by like 11 a.m. And I was like, I can't do this anymore.
I can't look at this fridge anymore.
I guess I will have her on my podcast. Before we keep going,
yeah,
it's time to get into your fridge. You guys can see Erica's fridge on my Instagram at standupdan.
I forget which fridge you went
Man,
with.
Man, this is a sad fridge. This is so sad. I've had either the best fridges in the world lately or the worst fridges in the world.
Is mine one of the worst?
Yours is one of the worst.
You said not to censor it.
Okay, I said don't like stage it.
Yeah, I didn't stage it.
It's not like you could take this and stage it and it would be better.
That tomato looks pretty good.
This is a homeless and or unhoused person's fridge, depending on your politics. This is an awful fridge.
Why is it? I didn't know you were going to judge the fridge.
Have you not listened to the podcast? This is all I do.
I thought it was a safe space.
No, this is a very unsafe space.
You were like, don't censor it. And then you're like, look at this pathetic, sad.
That's why I was like, why does she keep sending me these fridge pics? She's not going to want to be on this show.
I've got some good things. I've got high-end stuff in there. I've got an Erewhon juice.
You're not, like,
this is Erewhon.
This is an open mic fridge.
What?
This is an open micers fridge. You're a headliner.
But I'm a headliner who's always on the road. So when I come back, it's like I'm not really, you know, cooking and stuff.
That is the excuse that a lot of comics use. I'm always on the road.
Yeah.
So I will give you that. I won't ding you as much when I give you your score.
Okay. I didn't even know we were getting a score.
you're getting a score? Because that's the thing with comics. Like when they have a shitty fridge, it either means that they're awful comedians or they're always on the road. So
which one am I?
Somehow you straddle...
That is terrible.
No, it's not true. I think you're a fantastic comedian. So let's start here. First of all, the fridge itself, it looks like a college fridge.
Well, they didn't replace the fridge. I have a pretty nice apartment, but the fridge is a little ancient.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it's big enough for me, but it is an old style fridge and it buzzes sometimes,
oh,
I admit.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Again, excuse.
Sorry.
Excuse, you think Dave Chappelle, he's on the road all the time. You think his
Are we
fridge?
Comparing my fridge to Dave Chappelle's fridge?
Yes.
He probably has 25 fridges.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Do you think that's how it goes? The more famous you get, the more fridges you
No, you just
accrue?
Get a fancier, bigger, fancy fridge.
Yes. So this fridge.
It's old.
Just the fridge itself is an awful fridge.
Okay.
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 Now let's get into the contents. Top row, we'll start.
Okay.
There are three things on the top row of this fridge.
Yes.
a tomato, an Essentia electrolyte water on its side.
Fancy water.
On its side.
Yeah, because that's how I could fit it in.
And then something that's rolled in some sort of wax paper.
That was a complimentary cookie that I was given at my sandwich shop because they took so long and I didn't really want the cookie. And I thought maybe I'll eat this later. And so I just put it in the fridge.
Okay.
It's a cookie though.
How old is the cookie?
Probably a week.
What kind of cookie is it?
It was one of those like, it was like a cookie with like white, some kind of frosting in the middle, like, but they like acted like it was a healthy cookie, but it wasn't a healthful cookie. My mm-hmm. mom says actually healthy is incorrect grammatically, so you're supposed to say healthful.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You're never supposed to say the meal was healthy. I mean, that would mean the meal is an actual healthy meal, but you say it's healthful because it's healthful to you.
Wow. So you must have a really cool mom.
The coolest. Anyway, so it had like that white frosting and then it was like a vanilla cookie. And okay. I don't like any of those things.
What was the sandwich shop that it was from?
It's kind of like a vegan
healthful or yeah, healthy? Healthful.
It's on, they make like vegan breakfast sandwiches.
Oh.
And yeah, it's like near, it's like on Franklin.
Yeah, I don't go there.
Yeah, you don't.
I don't go to the vegan breakfast sandwich place.
Yeah, well, they have like a good fake vegan patty.
Why can't the vegans just come up with their own shit? Why do they have to fake all of our stuff?
I know. I agree. I don't usually like fake stuff, but yeah. They happen to have one that I like.
Okay.
So, yeah. So anyway, I didn't like the cookie. I ended up throwing it out. So it's no longer in my fridge.
Oh, it's no longer?
No. Not since this photo.
Oh, this is not an accurate photo. This is not an up-to-date photo.
Well, this was like last week or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So this tomato, it looks like some sort of humongous...
That's an Erewhon tomato.
Oh, it's an Erewhon tomato.
Yeah.
Wait, so you shop at Erewhon?
Yeah.
If you went to Ralph's, you could take the extra money and get yourself a nice fridge from one day of shopping.
That's a good point.
So you go to Erewhon and you get one big heirloom tomato.
Yeah.
It looks very pretty, actually.
Yeah. I never ate it.
You're not supposed to put tomatoes in the fridge, by the way.
You're not?
No. Because it makes them mealy.
Okay, I won't do that again. But it's that is a pretty tomato.
It is a nice tomato. And it costs
It's actually still in my fridge.
$19 probably.
Yeah, and it's still there.
Yeah.
So I haven't eaten it yet.
Yeah, this is a funny fridge because it's probably one of the more expensive fridges in terms of ingredients.
Yeah.
But it still looks like a homeless fridge.
Yeah.
Second row.
I'm also ADHD, so that's why it's not organized. That's my other excuse.
Oh, my God.
I'm disorganized.
That's like a Gen Z excuse. You're not Gen Z. You can't use ADD.
I've been diagnosed with ADHD more than 3 times.
Everyone's got fucking ADHD.
I don't think so.
DM me, everyone. Tell me how I'm wrong and how I'm insensitive.
What are you, a boomer?
Yeah, okay, right, boomer. Yeah. Oh, we can just get over it? No, we're taking mental health days. And we all have ADHD. Okay, so you've got there's a flanking of LaCroix.
LaCroix, yes.
There's a LaCroix flank.
Yes.
So one is you have the orange LaCroix on one side of the second row.
Uh-huh.
And then those are three unopened ones.
Yes.
And I have to specify that they're unopened.
Yes.
Because on the other side of the fridge
is an open
LaCroix, tangerine flavor.
Yes.
Why is there a open LaCroix in your fridge?
I almost never finish LaCroix in one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a slow sipper.
Okay.
So I usually put it back in the fridge.
And then the next day it's...
flat.
It's flat?
Yeah.
So it's just tangerine water.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Sometimes it lasts about a day.
Okay.
So I would say it lasts the day. So if I don't finish it in one sitting, I might finish it in the next sitting.
Okay. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Next to that, we have a Tupperware. What's in here?
That was probably Thai food. kind of like pineapple fried rice.
Where do you get your Thai food from?
Different places.
Do you have any names or no?
I think there's a place on Hillhurst called...
You want to keep them private? You don't want to shout them out? Give them love?
Well, yeah. I just don't remember. I think it's like Thai on Hillhurst.
Oh.
Something like that.
Little on the nose, Thai on Hillhurst.
It's Little, it's either that or like, yeah, they're all like Thai something.
Love to Eat is very good.
Simply Thai.
And that's close to you.
Oh, yeah. There's Green Leaves on Hillhurst. Green Leaves. They're good.
Okay. That's Thai?
Yeah.
You have a Cholula
sauce. Yeah.
Sauce.
In the back.
In the back there.
Yep.
Cholula to me, very respectable breakfast hot sauce.
Yes.
It's a good hot sauce.
I can make eggs sometimes.
Fake eggs?
No, I'm not vegan.
So why are you going to the vegan breakfast?
Because they have, because I don't eat meat. I eat fish.
Okay.
But I don't eat like sausage. Right. And they have like a good sausage like patty.
Okay. Okay. You got a green juice?
Yeah. Those are the best. The Heavenly Green Juice at Erewhon is really good. I know it's expensive, but it is the best juice you can get that's fresh.
Really?
It is. Hands down. And I always get it when I come off the road because I always need nutrients off the road.
Yeah.
And Heavenly Greens is the best one.
Wow. Big hands shout down. Out.
I can live off of it.
Are you trying to influence for them right now? Are you trying to get free Heavenly Greens?
I wouldn't mind being an Erewhon influencer. I am an Erewhon member.
Are you honestly?
Yeah. I am the richest. I'm the poorest rich girl.
Erewhon is making people who could live in mansions live in studio apartments in Los Angeles. Like you could live in a mansion right now. You could be in a mansion. You could have a pool. You could have.
I have a pool.
You could have your own pool, not a communal pool.
If I didn't shop at Erewhon, you think so?
Yeah.
But here's the thing: I don't spend as much on food. Like I get fewer items and spend a little more, and I eat more of it. If I go somewhere else, I usually hate half the things I get.
Okay.
I get like three things at Erewhon and love all of it.
So you use the money is almost like a discipline. It's like, well, it's going to be $70 for me to get this juice, a cream cheese, and a cracker. So that's all I'm going to have for the rest of the week.
Well, it's going to be a really good cracker.
And fantastic.
And really good juice.
Right.
Whereas if I go to Trader Joe's, I get like, I'll spend $50 and eat like two things.
Yeah.
And then it all goes bad. And then I'm mad at myself because I'm like, why don't I just get the things I know I like?
Right. And there's hotter people at Erewhon.
Way hotter. And it's just easy. You're not in such a long line. Like everything is faster and easier.
Yes, because it's expensive and people can't afford. It's like when you go to the Lamborghini dealership, it's a lot easier to close for that Lamborghini than it is when you go for a Prius.
I know. I've honestly tried to not shop at Erewhon, but like I always like the things I get. I'm just happier when I shop there.
I mean, what is this Karma Bakery thing? Is this from Erewhon?
That's an Erewhon donut.
An That's Erewhon
like a
donut.
Vegan donut.
Okay.
It's like a healthful donut.
Is it healthful?
Healthful.
Is it goodful?
It is good. Really yeah. good. Okay. And I eat like just a little bite like for dessert.
It's got to last.
Yeah, it lasts a few days.
And then this is a...
old smoothie that will be thrown out.
Old smoothie. Okay.
Yeah.
Pasta sauce back here?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you making pastas? Are you making
I don't
like
usually.
Real pasta or fake pasta?
I try not to eat pasta.
Okay.
It makes me fat right away.
Right.
So if I eat pasta, it's usually gluten-free pasta.
Yeah. You don't want to.
It makes me fat literally the next day. Okay. I'm fat.
I don't think that's how it works.
Well, to me, it is. I think if you're sensitive to gluten, I'm not gluten intolerant, but I think if you're sensitive, it makes you fat. Gluten makes you fat.
I don't think that's true.
You don't think so?
No.
If I eat bread for a week, I gain weight.
Yeah, that's because you're eating bread for a week, not because you have any intolerance or whatever.
But some people, I think, aren't like built like that. They can eat way more bread.
So what do you think? It just stores in your body like squirrels with acorns in their cheeks?
Yeah, that's exactly the analogy I was thinking. There's more hot sauce down here.
Down on the bottom, we have another hot sauce. We have Yellowbird, though, which is my favorite hot sauce. They don't fucking pay me. I need to get them to be a sponsor because
they are.
So much.
It's very good hot sauce. I forget. I got that for free somewhere. Someone gave that to me as a gift, but I forget who gave me that as a gift.
Note to self, if you give a gift to Erica, she's going to forget.
I don't know why. Why would I why would I get free hot sauce? I don't know.
Was it a promo? Was it a promo?
Maybe I didn't. Maybe I did buy it. I just don't know where I bought it.
I got a wild guess.
Where?
Erewhon. I think they have it there, probably.
You think so? I don't know. I don't know. I think someone might have given it to me.
What is this box of Erewhon?
That's those little orzo pasta. It's like pasta salad.
Okay.
It's like orzo. It's an orzo pasta salad.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Orzo.
Yeah.
Has gluten in it.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
So it's going to make you fat tomorrow.
Well, I didn't eat it though. Look at it. It's uneaten.
Yeah, you just leave it at
the
bottom.
I just left it.
What is orzo? Orzo is like, it's Greek. I know exactly what it is, but it's like,
it's tiny little pasta shells, but they're not shells. They're like little. Is it a grain? Is it its own grain?
I don't think it is. I think it's pasta that is made into a shape.
Yeah, tiny shape.
A tiny shape that looks like a little torpedo almost.
Yeah.
A mini torpedo. You've got your expensive California oat milk. The oats.
Yeah, that is the best
brand.
That's
the barista one. This is for your coffee?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you a little barista?
I'm a little snobby about coffee.
Yeah, same. We
had a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
Israeli coffee is so much stronger. Like, yeah. I felt like I was on drugs when I drank their coffee.
We'll get to Israel in a minute because that was a very fun trip and we had a lot of food moments there.
Yes.
But is this Justine's?
Yes.
Is it Justin's or Justine's?
I think it's Justin's, but I've always thought it was Justine's.
Yeah.
And I had a big debate about that once with someone.
Really?
Yeah, where I was like, it's Justine's. And he's like, no, it's Justin's.
I think it's Justin.
It's Justin.
Justine is
Why do we all think it's Justine's?
Because it should be Justine's.
It should be.
Better name for a peanut butter.
Yes.
Especially, it's like a sweetened peanut butter. It's a feminine fancy peanut butter.
High end peanut butter.
And then lastly, everyone listening, I literally went through every single one of the products in her fridge. It's not like there's so much here. What am I going to whittle it down to? This is a sad fridge.
Well, I also had sunflower chocolate peanut butter cups.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
What's the sunflower part?
Instead of peanut butter, it's made out of sunflower seed.
Wait, so it's sunflower seed butter
peanut butter cups.
Oh.
There's no peanut butter.
Okay, got it. Is this a newfangled thing that they make for all the peanut allergy people?
Those might be from Trader Joe's, actually.
Oh, you disgust me. You disgust me.
I do once in a while shop at Trader Joe's.
To see how the commoners are.
Yeah, just to see what the difference is.
Is this that liquid amino something?
Yeah,
or
that
other?
Is good for you.
I don't buy it.
Well, it tastes good, too. It tastes like soy sauce.
Yeah. You know what also tastes like soy sauce?
Soy sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the amino whatever.
What does that mean?
It's like a protein thing. It's like protein.
I don't...
For vegetarians.
I don't believe it.
You don't?
No.
I do.
Liquid aminos. And then there's the other one that tastes like Parmesan.
I don't know that one.
It's what's that one? It's like... I think it's amino nutri... Fuck, what's it called?
I don't know that
It's fake ass Parmesan cheese.
Ew. That's the only cheese I eat is Parmesan cheese.
It's the undisputed king.
Yeah. Thank you. Wow. Finally got some validation. Jeez.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're throwing fake patties and sunflour.
These are real eggs. You forgot the eggs. I have eggs.
Oh, okay.
Those are the eggs that they...
So you buy cooked eggs that are in a package?
From Erewhon.
Why don't you just buy the eggs and cook them?
Because those are ready to eat now. Like if I want something fast in the morning.
Do you know how long it takes to... You could get the eggs.
I never do it right. It's always undercooked or overcooked.
Oh my God. You can't boil an
egg.
That's like a thing. Like she can't even boil an egg.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I'm inept.
You would be an awful 1950s housewife.
I would. Thank God I'm not that. Oh my God.
What's this thing next to the boiled eggs that you buy?
Zoom in. I have no idea what that is.
Some sort of greens with onions, maybe?
Is it? Or what?
I don't know.
No. Wait, zoom in again?
It's literally 10% of what's in your fridge and you don't know what it is.
I have no idea what that is.
Okay.
Looks like some kind of... Yeah, it looks like it might be some kale salad.
Whatever it is, it's not going to save this sad, sad fridge.
I'm sorry. I didn't. Gosh.
You know.
Is it the saddest fridge you've ever seen? Or?
It is not the saddest fridge I've ever seen.
Okay.
But it's definitely up there. Again, the fact that you're a comedian makes it a little
less,
you know,
sad.
A little more acceptable.
And I've been on the road pretty much nonstop for like months.
We get it. You're working. You're working. Erica's
not
working,
like Chappelle,
everyone.
But like.
Not Chappelle and his 26 fridges he has. So we met recently.
Yes.
We're new friends.
Yeah.
Thank God we didn't listen to that Drake song. No New Friends.
Oh, yeah.
He says no new friends.
Oh.
Because we became very, very, we had a very fun trip. We went to Israel. We toured around. We did six shows.
Seven
shows.
Yeah.
All over the country.
Yeah.
And then during the day, we'd hang, and then at night after the shows, we would hang and go find food.
Yeah, and you always knew the best places to go until the last night, which you missed.
Well, I had to leave.
I know, you had to leave, but I finally found the best restaurant in Israel.
I know, we did find, so we started in Jerusalem, J-Town.
Yeah.
We had a couple of very fun food experiences there. I would say, number one is we found... Oh, I want to get this right.
Yeah, what was the first?
What was the name of that restaurant that we kept going to?
Oh, yeah.
We found the best restaurant in Israel.
We have to tell the story of how you got in.
Yeah,
I know. Because Dan was telling everybody that he had the number one food podcast in the U.S. And everybody would look at him like, really?
That is true. I would tell everyone and they didn't really care.
No
but
one
I,
cared but I or said believed
with,
him.
No one believed me or cared, but I said it with such gusto.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. And towards the end, I started saying it for him because I first was like, are you going to say it? And he's like, well, I don't know. I think I'm saying it too much. And then I was like, well, now I have to say it.
Yes,
I took over and I was like, he has the number one food podcast in the U.S.
And I would be like, oh, Erica, come on.
Stop
it. But fine. Yeah, it's true.
It only worked like once to really... Well, actually, it worked that first time.
Are you kidding me? It worked all the time.
Okay, it did kind of work.
We got so much free shit.
You're right. They were like, we don't believe you, but fine. We'll give you a table anyway.
Yeah, you weird, desperate Americans. Okay, so the bar that we... okay, hold on. The restaurant was called Machne Yehuda. Udali. Udali was the name of the bar that we went to.
Do you want to spell it for them?
I will. It's across the street from... So Machne Yehuda is one of the best restaurants in Jerusalem, and it's a fancy pants place. And across the street is a bar called Udali, which was a tiny place, amazing small plates, and the craziest vibe. People are dancing and screaming and going nuts. The chefs are hitting the pots and pans like they're in Stomp.
Yeah.
And
everyone's dancing and everyone's like...
Everyone's dancing. Everyone's hot.
Yeah, everyone was hot. Everyone was hot in Israel.
Erica had a will they, won't they with the restaurant manager. Adam was his name?
Adam.
Adam was just a
tall glass. We both had a crush on Adam.
Adam was just a hot, tall Israeli dude. And he loved us, and we loved him.
And he was giving us the best wine ever.
Yeah, he was definitely.
And knew so much about it. And then he knew, like, he was, like, really knew how to, like, help, but then, like, leave. You know, he was kind of playing hard to get with us.
Oh, yeah, like, he would go and hang out. And we were like, where'd he go?
Yeah.
Where'd Adam go?
Where's Adam? And then he came. No, then we went back the next night.
Yeah, we went back the next night.
We went back and he remembered us.
Oh my God. When he said my name, we were walking up to the place. He said, Dan. I was like, oh, I like melted inside. I was like.
The biggest mistake we made was not going to his new bar.
Yeah, he had a new speakeasy bar.
We had to go to a.
Yeah, but the thing is he played too hard to get. He played too hard to get.
I know.
For
he, yeah, he did. I know, because then he added me on Instagram, and
And he's like, "Oh, I messed up." Oh no! I hope Adam's listening to this.
Me too. He's like, I usually listen to my instincts, but this time I didn't. Plus, comedians scare me.
comedian, female comedians are intimidating to men, even in Israel.
I know, even in Israel, they're like, I don't know.
Gone to war.
Yeah, they've all served for their country.
But talking to
Woman who's funny, it's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. No. Made me question my masculinity.
Yeah, I prefer Hamas to Erica Rhodes. I will take them on before I have to sit down and try to go toe-to-toe with a comic.
He was really cute.
The food was very fun. Very fresh vegetables.
Yes. And what was that amazing, like, cheese dish or, like, what was it that was so good?
I think it was a labneh.
Yeah, it was a labneh situation. So good.
Which was very good. We also almost died on a food excursion.
That was Dan's fault.
It was my fault. It was Shabbat. It was the Sabbath.
Yes.
And so all the restaurants in Jerusalem on the Jewish side, which is where we were staying.
Yeah.
On the Israeli, whatever you want to call it, side, West Jerusalem, were closed. And I wanted to get a shawarma. And I wanted to see what the best shawarma was.
And tell them what shawarma is, because like I didn't know before I went to Israel.
Yes. What were you pronouncing it?
Shmarma. We're getting some shmarma.
Shmarma. Shawarma, for the one person who doesn't know, who's sitting across from me, is basically meat on a spit that turns round and round, and there's a heat source on one side of it, and then you shave the meat off, and you make a sandwich out of this shaved meat.
So is it always meat? Because I don't eat shawarma then.
You were eating shawarma.
No, I never ate shawarma.
Did you not have
shawarma?
No,
oh, I don't eat falafel. Meat. That's right. Yeah, I only eat... So they don't make shawarma for vegetarians.
No.
What was that night when we went to the restaurant, then we drank, and then we went to that little...
Oh.
Was that also falafel?
That was not falafel. What was that? Was Arias.
What's Arias?
Arias is a dating app for only hot Israelis. Exclusively Arias. No, Arias are a sandwich. It's a pita.
Yeah.
That's filled with... heavily spiced ground lamb.
Oh.
And then they kind
of... I didn't eat that either.
They paint both sides of the pita with oil and they throw
it
in the
oven.
So
was I just eating falafel this whole time?
You were just having falafel the whole time. Oh, okay. And you just kept thinking it was different things. You're like, this shawarma falafel is amazing. I didn't want to burst your bubble and let you know that you're like,
I thought I was having shawarma.
No, you never had shawarma.
Oh, my God. Okay, so anyway.
I looked up the best shawarma place in East Jerusalem, which is the Arab part of town, which is open on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're always told you got to be careful when you go there. I think it's a bunch of baloney. So I was like, I'm going to go and get myself this best shawarma.
Yeah.
And I called Erica. I was like, what are you doing today? She's like, I'm going to the Israel Museum. I want to go and look at the archaeological facts that have been collected over millennia that they have there. I have one last day here. I think that's what I want to do. I was like, no, bitch. We're going to East Jerusalem to get some shawarma.
To risk your life for food you don't even eat.
And she's like, okay. So rather than go to what is lauded as one of the finest museums in the world, actually.
Oh, my God. I will never forgive you for this.
So we start walking towards East Jerusalem. And Erica is wearing a tank top. She's a blonde woman. Strike one. Tank top. Strike two. Midriff.
Strike three.
Calls it shawarma. Strike four. So now we're walking.
Smiling. Strike five.
Smiling. Strike five. Face completely uncovered.
Sunglasses.
She's looking like Meg Ryan.
Dan said I look like Meg Ryan the whole trip.
Yeah.
Even with the hat. Oh, yeah. And I was probably wearing my hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. My tourist hat that Bob Zaney bought me.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob Zaney.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
So we cross over. And it's literally one street. You cross over and you're in East Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And things get a little different right away.
Yeah.
There aren't as many women on the street.
They're selling Barbie dolls.
It's a lot of men. They're selling Barbie dolls.
On the street.
And slowly, you know, people start kind of staring at us. And the further and further we get into East Jerusalem, the deeper we get, the more we're getting these weird looks.
And not like nice weird looks.
No, it started out like, because it was very thin street. So yeah. Erica would walk in front and I'd walk behind her and I'd get to see the reactions of what was going on. And at first it was guys checking her out. Like, oh my God, I can't believe there's a fucking blonde chick. And then the further we got, it was like, what the fuck is this fucking uncovered blonde chick doing in our neighborhood? Yeah. Like, it got dangerous.
Yeah.
And at one point I asked some guy for directions and like, he just ignored us and just like pointed.
He kind of like pointed at me like, I'm not going to talk to you with her.
Yeah. It started getting weird.
Yeah.
And I was like, at one point I was like, Erica, I don't really feel safe here. It does not feel safe for me. And I don't think it feels safe. It definitely is not safe for you. And you were like, yeah, I think we should get out of here. And then I was like, yeah, but.
No, it was the opposite.
The shawarma place is like a block away.
You're changing the story. I was the one, you said, let's go. And I said, isn't it close? I was like, oh, you made it this far. And you're like, really? And I was like, yeah, let's just risk our lives for one more block.
At that point, I was like, look, if she's okay with the potential rape,
then I'm okay with it.
For me to get my shawarma. Yeah. So we like start rushing. We're booking. And it's not fun. It's not cool.
Yeah.
And we like rush into the store, this restaurant, the shawarma place, and everyone stares at us when we walk in.
Yeah. And it basically looks like a Taco Bell.
Yeah.
It looks like we like risked our lives for Taco Bell.
Right.
That's what it looks like. It looks like some dumb Americans ran into Taco Bell and they're like, we heard you had the best tacos in the country and we're in the most dangerous part of town.
Yes. Yes. It would be like going into like one of those border towns in Mexico where they behead people to go to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
So I run up to the owner.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hi, I have the number one food podcast in America. Please don't rape us.
He was the least impressed.
Yeah, he did not care.
Did not care.
And I asked him, I was like, are we safe here? Is she okay? Should we buy her like something to cover up with? And he's like, you're not staying long. It's okay.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So, and then I was like, he was like, oh, Instagram. You put Instagram and you put the tag us Instagram. I was like, yes, totally.
Yeah.
I was like, give me your phone and I'll add myself. He's like, oh, okay. So he gives me his phone and I go on his Instagram and I press the search thing to search for my page and his Discover page comes up.
Yeah. Oh,
and
my God.
All half naked white chicks. And I'm like trying to relate with him because I'm like, I'll relate. And I was like, oh, you like this? I like this too. And he's like, grabs the phone from me.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So then we get the shawarma.
But it took forever. They were like, definitely.
Took forever. We were like, oh my God. They like called people and they were like, yo.
They were letting every Arab go before Dan.
Yeah. They're like, get over here, abduct these two.
Yeah.
This guy has the number one food podcast in America. He keeps saying it. He must be really rich. Let's abduct these fuckers. So we start getting worried and we were about to bail, I think. And then finally our shawarma comes.
My
shawarma.
I didn't even get any food.
Nothing.
I risked my life. I missed the Jerusalem Museum so that Dan could get his shawarma that wasn't even good.
It was okay. It was not the best.
It was not that good.
I was hoping for the best. Well, I was also eating it while I was sprinting down the street to get back to like...
to the safe zone?
Yes. We were like, I'm like scarfing this thing down, worried that we're going to get abducted.
We were so reprimanded when we got back and told them that we had gone to the east side.
Yeah, the
best part... We were not supposed to do that.
The funniest part was that we were sitting... we got finally to the...
safe zone.
It's called the Damascus Gate, which is the gate that allows you into the old city of Jerusalem that lets you out on East Jerusalem, on the Arab side. And so we were sitting on the steps of the Damascus Gate and I'm eating the shawarma. And, you know, I like history. I like fun facts. And I was like, oh, Erica, you know, whenever there's like a stabbing,
it's usually
right around here. She's like, what? I was like, yeah, you know, if it's like, if something's going on when there's like a lot of tension between the two people, usually like, you know, someone like, they're like one of these like teenagers and there were like 10 teenagers. I'm like, one of them will just get up and start stabbing. And she was like, can we get the fuck out of here?
And then Dan goes, why? What's the matter?
OMG.
And then we went in.
And then,
Dan knew the Australian hotel.
It's one of the more fascinating things.
That's like completely a westernized safe spot.
There is in the Arab section of the old city of Jerusalem. So the old city of Jerusalem is like a walled city, like literally medieval walled city.
Yeah.
Pre-medieval. And there's like three sections. There's the Armenian section. There's the Jewish section. There's the Arab section.
Isn't there also the Christian?
And the Christian section. Yeah, four. There's four sections. Okay.
Way to forget my people.
I thought the Armenians and the Christians were one section.
No, I think they're separate sections.
You got your own section.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then we went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre at one point, and Avi Lieberman gave literally the worst tour.
He's like, this is maybe where he was crucified, unquote. This is... They think that he might have been found here.
Yeah, yeah. You see all these people weeping over that rock? Yeah, that's where they say, quote unquote, that Jesus was laid down after he was crucified. It's not true. This is probably far from where it actually happened. He's not even a real person. I was like, Avi, fucking live in the fun.
Yeah.
We're literally in one of the holiest places in the world.
Yeah.
Stop fucking it up. It's like you're killing Santa Claus and just like stabbing him in front of us.
But he's already been stabbed.
And he's like doing it at a loud volume where all these like fucking people who like traveled from all over the world to come here. And this whiny Jew is just like, this is where this thing Mary's tears fell and made a tree or some bullshit in the New Testament, putting it in quotes. I'm like, Avi, wait outside, fucker.
Go to the Jewish side.
Get out of here, you fucking dirty Jew. Anyway.
Yeah, the Australian.
We went back in. Oh, yeah. So there's an Austrian house.
Oh, Austrian. Yeah.
Which is in the Jewish section. In the Arab section.
And it has a
Arab
flag, border. Like an Austrian.
Yeah. It's which literally is owned weird by Austria.
Because Hitler's from there, right?
Hitler is from there. you're right.
Thank you.
But this was established way pre-Hitler. This was
right.
The Austro-Hungarian.
They're still like waving the flag.
Yeah, it's like the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Yeah.
So it's like something that was established in like the 1700s or 1500s. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But it was for the missionaries to come so they could spread the word of JC. And it's this beautiful hotel. And you walk in and there's like classical music playing.
Yeah.
And there's a Viennese like... pastry
shop,
that's serving, and it felt so civilized.
And they have Wi-Fi.
And they have Wi-Fi and coffee. And I swear, and I was sitting there with Erica, and I was like, oh, this is what it feels like to be like a colonizer and be like,
we're going to make it better. Yeah. Yes.
We have classical music.
But then tell the best part when we ordered the pastry and you told the barista where we had just gone.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, that's like the worst shawarma place. You risked your life. It was like an Arab dude working in the...
He's like, it used to be the best.
Yeah.
But it isn't anymore.
He's like, that place sucks now.
Yeah, he's like, this is where you should have gone.
I was like, motherfucker, we almost died.
Yeah.
For Taco Bell.
Yeah, basically. But then we had really good coffee cake. And then there were these tourists next to us, and they sounded very Russian.
Yeah.
And Dan was like, I bet you can't figure out where they're from without asking where they're from.
Yeah.
And we ask a couple questions and I was like, they're Russian. And then we asked where they were from and they go, we're from Israel.
Yeah,
they're the most Russian.
They were so fucking Russian. So Russians are everywhere now except for Russia because they're like trying to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And they also don't want to say that they're Russian because like, you know, people aren't thrilled with them right now.
Yeah.
And these guys are the whole time talking like, and then I'm like, oh, do you know what they are? And you're like, I think they're Russian. I'm like, yeah, they're definitely Russian. I'm like, hey, so you guys from Russia? They're like, no, we're from Israel. I'm like, you're from Israel? I'm like, yes. I'm like, what part? The
part that's in Russia.
And then they start talking to each other like, those nigga particles, those nigga. The southern part. Okay, guys, you're awful spies, first of all.
Yeah, you were the worst spies. We were like, they are so Russian.
They were so Russian.
And we're like, we're fine with it, but yeah.
After that, we ended up going to, we found the guy told us this pastry shop that we should go to, the Arab dude who was working.
Oh, yeah, that was really good.
And we had a fantastic.
What is that cheese stuff?
It was a cheese kunefe.
Yeah,
it was
okay.
A kunefe,
that was so good.
It's a warm, like melty, very stringy cheese. And on top of it, there's like
caramel?
Some sort of chopped phyllo thing.
Oh, yeah.
That has a lot of syrup on it.
Yes.
And man, is it delicious.
It is so good.
It was so good.
Yeah, we loved that.
We loved that.
So and that the, made up for... Oh, and didn't we eat even more after that? Didn't we get another meal? Because we were like... Because then we were supposed to go to Shabbat dinner and we were full by the time we got to dinner.
No, I think we were... Was I wanted one more day? And you told me to go fuck myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But when did we get that other falafel plate where we met the girl who was American and then we asked the guy why... We asked the guy how they know who's military. That was that a different day?
That was a different day. That was
we ate
day.
A lot of good food in Israel.
Wait, that was the same day. You're right.
I thought... maybe it wasn't.
I don't know. We went to like Machne Yehuda, which is like a huge market, and had amazing hummus ful, which is like an Egyptian type of hummus, which has fava beans on top of the hummus.
Yeah.
It was delightful.
But the best hummus we had was in Jaffa.
Best hummus was in Jaffa, Arab-Israeli joint called...
What is it called? Al best hummus in Israel.
Al best hummus.
And this woman, like, it's hard to get a seat, and she decided that she was going to give us her seats, and she goes, these are for them. And she was very aggressive about it and didn't let anyone take her seat. And then she said, this is the best hummus in all of Israel.
Abu Hassan.
Yeah.
Hummus Abu
It was
Hassan.
So good.
It was wildly good.
It was amazing.
Wildly cheap.
Yeah.
Definitely a must if you go to Tel Aviv. The funny thing about our shows, though, so we were in Jerusalem for 3 nights, and then we were in Tel Aviv for three or four.
Yeah.
And our shows would finish
by
11 p.m.
Yeah.
So we didn't really have much chance to go try a lot of fun restaurants.
Yeah.
But we found one place that was open late that we loved called Port Said. Port Said, late night, delightful. You're sitting outside. You're facing the old temple in Jerusalem. Cool music is on. It's very laid back, and they're very vegetable driven. They actually just opened up an outpost in New York. But
they did?
Yeah, they just did.
Oh my God, are you going to find it when you're there?
I will. But it's all very heavily... The thing I loved about the food there was that, like, they led with vegetables. That was the leading.
Yeah.
And like the...
He also liked that every waitress like almost was humping him.
They were like...
I don't know. I felt like we were also at like a strip bar.
Yes, your impression of the waitresses was very fun.
They were just so sexual.
Yeah.
They were like, would you like some tomato? How are you ready to order? Oh, you have the number one food podcast? Let me see it. Oh, wow.
It was a stark...
That's what Dan really liked, if he's being honest.
It was a stark contrast to Erica's goofy, high-pitched voice, which I was listening to the whole trip.
Do not have a goofy, high-pitched voice.
Where are we getting hummus, Dan?
Hello, welcome to Port Said. Finally.
Oh my God, that's so mean. Dan was so mean to me this whole trip. Negging me.
I was nagging you. Okay, let's get into liquid aminos. Now, I'm generally not a fan of fake versions of the real thing, and liquid aminos are a fake version of soy sauce. Also, the name is so scientific, it takes all the sexiness out of eating it. But I digress. Liquid aminos, like soy sauce, are made from soybeans. However, they are not fermented, so they lack the umami you get from soy sauce. Cool. Liquid aminos are made by the Bragg Company. You know that hippy-dippy yellow label that you find in health food stores next to a guy wearing hemp and smelling like armpit? They make apple cider vinegar, nutritional yeast, that's the Parmesan substitute I couldn't remember, and liquid aminos. The Bragg Company was founded by Paul Bragg in 1912. As a teenager, Bragg developed his own food and exercise program to rebuild his body after having suffered the effects of tuberculosis. Bragg opened the first health food stores in America, as well as the nation's first health food restaurants. So when you forego delicious soy sauce for hippy-dippy soybean science juice, know that you're taking your cooking advice from a tuberculosis teenager who lived during the Great Depression, which we all know was the heyday of haute American cuisine. Okay, I'm going to start getting to the questions that I ask
every guest.
Okay.
Starting with, what is your earliest food memory?
Oh, that's a very good question. My earliest food memory is, I think, waffles. Eating waffles? Yeah, waffles. I was really into waffles as a kid.
Okay.
And I was very particular about how I would cut them. They had to be cut a very specific way.
Would you cut on the peaks or the valleys?
All of them. Every single square.
Okay.
And they all had to be square cuts.
Wait, you'd cut each individual square?
Yeah.
So you'd have like 100 little squares?
No, not the tiniest squares.
Uh-huh.
Just like, yeah.
In squares.
Okay. Yeah. It had to be cut that way.
Did you guys have a waffle machine, or are we talking Eggos?
Eggos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eggos are a fantastic food.
God, they were so good. I never eat them anymore.
Never.
I had to have them every single morning as a child.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I was a little OCD.
Oh, you had, like, that was your thing. Like,
yeah, that's what I loved.
I can't start the day.
Yeah.
And your mom was like, but Erica, these are not healthful. And you're like, it's healthy, Mom. No. The healthy is the possessive noun of the subject of the verb. Like, God damn it, Mom.
Give me my waffles.
Lego my Eggos.
I feel like I have an earlier memory like of food before that, but it's probably like something like just milk, you know, milk. Like I remember drinking milk out of bottles.
Okay.
You know?
Not out of the teat. Not teat milk.
I don't have that. I don't think I have that memory. It feels like maybe. Do some people remember that?
I was breastfeeding until I was 7. So for me, yes, I did.
Wow, that's good for you.
Sit on my lap, on my mom's lap with my legs crossed.
Wow.
I'd be, you know, I'd have my phone good. Out.
That's good.
I'd be playing games
you
on my phone.
You have your phone out? You're not that young.
I'd be texting my buds. Just sucking on my mom's
dick. Oh, my God. Yeah, you're supposed to be very intelligent if you drink your mom's breast milk late.
Is that true?
It's supposed to make you more intelligent.
Well, you know?
Guess it's not working. Yeah.
Death row meal. So let's think of a good reason for you to be on death row. So you're a child. Your mom pre-cuts your Eggo waffles into diagonals.
Yeah.
You're like, squares. I fucking told squares. You, Mom. And you can't take it. You want the squares. So you shiv your mom.
Oh my God, this is horrible.
You shiver.
This is terrible.
And your last words there are, and it's fucking healthy, bitch. And now you're on death row.
This is a terrible story.
It's called improv, baby.
Okay.
Just you guys have to yes and it.
Yes, and this is horrible.
So now you're on death row. What's your death row meal?
Oh, this is a hard one.
Okay.
'Cause I'm like, I would either go like super simple, like just like a great breakfast, you know, like great pancakes and eggs and things like that. Mm-hmm. Or I would do like super fancy sushi.
Oh, wow. You know? That's quite a range.
Yeah. I think I'd veer for super fancy sushi.
Yeah.
Like the best sushi ever.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
What is the best sushi you've ever had?
Oh, well, I mean, I went to Japan when I was younger, so it was probably there, but I didn't really love sushi as a kid.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, that's probably the best sushi I had, but I didn't know it.
Okay.
You know.
What's the best you've had in America?
Well, there's a really good place. God, I don't remember the name.
Is it called Sushi on Hillhurst?
No. It's in the Marina. It's like near Marina Del Rey, and it's like this really good sushi place, and you eat at the bar, and it's just like
fun. There's so many of them in LA.
I know. There's so many good ones.
It's fantastic.
A lot on the West Side.
What is the best high-end meal you've ever had?
Jeez. What? Didn't I tell you this once before? Wasn't it the place?
We weren't live on the podcast, so I'm sorry to ask you a question.
It was a place in New York that was really fancy that used to be even fancier. They have like 10 course meals.
What was it? Can you explain it a little?
It's like they have all these courses and it's super fancy.
It's not narrowing it down.
What is it called?
Where was
like
it?
Like circus or something?
Le Cirque.
And it's really fancy.
Yeah, that's a fancy one.
Yeah.
Old school. I don't think it's around anymore, unfortunately.
Is it not?
Yeah, I think it's gone.
Oh my God, that's sad.
Yeah, it was very old school, fine dining.
Yeah, very fine dining. I also used to work at a really fancy Greek restaurant in New York, and they had really good food.
Which one? Was it called?
I feel like it started with an M, like Milos or
yeah, Milos.
Milos.
Yeah.
Was that a Greek place?
Yeah, it's very high end. Midtown?
Yeah. So I was a hostess there.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you good?
No, I got fired because I didn't recognize Martha Stewart. And her.
You're going to have to wait 10 minutes, bitch.
No, I sent Martha Stewart to the bar.
Oh, my God.
And her daughter came up to me and she goes, "Do you know who that is?" And I go, "No," but she has to wait. And then the manager came up and they were like, you don't make Martha Stewart wait. And I was like, "Sorry, there's a wait."
Oh,
and I was
MG.
Like, they're like, "That's Martha." Yeah. And they're like, "That's Martha Stewart." And I was like, "I don't care."
Oh, my God.
And then
God.
I got fired.
That makes me so happy. That's the best story because you doubled down.
I doubled down. I was like, they said there's a wait. So there's a wait. Like, I was like, very like.
Like, you knew at that point, oh, fuck, I should have slapped Martha Stewart. But you're like, no.
Yeah, but I was kind of like, I did that at my other coat. I had a coat check job once and I didn't show up when it was nice
you're
outside.
Like, sorry, Martha, leave your coat on for 10 minutes.
I was just like, twice I messed up. First, I messed up because they had a huge food critic come in and I had just started working and it was winter and everyone had the same black coat in New York, that same long black coat.
Yeah.
And I mixed up coats and I couldn't find his coat. And I ended up hiding in the coat check room sobbing. And they found me crying there because I was like, "I don't know which one it is. The numbers and the letters are wrong and I don't know which one it is." I think his name was Frank something.
Frank Bruni?
Yeah, I think it was Frank. The biggest food critic.
I think his name was Frank something. Oh, the biggest food critic in New York Times history. Yes, Frank Bruni.
It was Frank Bruni.
What was the restaurant?
And I was sobbing. It was like with that guy who opened Shake Shack. He also.
Oh, it was Union Square Cafe?
Was it Union?
Danny Meyer?
Yeah, Danny Meyer. It was like, I think it's like called 14th Street or something, 15th.
Yeah.
It was like the number of it. It was like.
Oh, that was the number, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was just like a number.
11 Madison Park?
Yeah.
Again, literally the number one restaurant in New York City.
There's a number in it?
11.
I worked at like the fanciest places, but I didn't know it. So that place, I was a hostess also.
Oh my God.
And
were a hostess at 11 Madison Park?
Yeah.
No way.
I think so.
Wow.
I didn't know these restaurants. You know,
it's
I didn't like
the
know.
Hostess Olympics.
Really?
Yeah.
I was cute back then.
Three-star
I was like a
Michelin
cute
restaurant.
21-year-old, you know, who smiled a lot. It was a perfect hostess. But then I was, you know, bad. Because then.
But were you not, this is before you were a comic, I guess. So you weren't like dying to do bits with people.
No, I was an actress. I wanted to be discovered. You know, I wanted someone to walk into one of these restaurants, be like, "Who's that?"
And they're like, "Get in the fucking coat check room. Enough. Back of house. Get
and
her
I
out
would
here."
Just, I mean, it is the dumbest. It is like the most mind. This was before cell phones were that like where we could go online on a phone. So it was so boring. You just stand there all day and you're so bored. And so this job,
I have a feeling the hostesses at 11 Madison Park are still not just like chilling on their phones waiting in between guests. It's a three-star Michelin restaurant.
Who cares? We're still bored.
What do you think? They're just like playing Candy Crush and then Martha Stewart walks up? sit at the bar.
That's true. They're probably just bored.
Yeah, they're probably.
But they probably have phones in hidden places where they can, you know, check it and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 11 Madison. I think it
did
was.
Did you eat? Did you have a meal there ever?
Yeah, we ate there, but I don't remember the food that well.
Oh, my God.
I remember the food more at Milo because it was like very specific, like Greek food.
Milos. You don't even remember the name.
This was ages ago.
Yeah.
You know, this was like almost 20 years ago.
But that was like the heyday of 11 Madison Park. That's pretty cool that you were there, even though you don't remember any of the food. You know that restaurant, 11 Madison Park, is vegan now?
Really?
That's the most expensive vegan restaurant in the world.
Oh, my God.
You should
I had
go
a
there
friend who was a waitress there, and she was like, she's still really good at, she was a really good waitress, and I was never good at anything.
I can't imagine you being good at anything other than comedy.
I'm not.
Like, I literally can't.
I'm literally not. Like, I'm a napped. Like, so then I didn't come into work one day because I was, it was a beautiful day out. And I was like, I'm coat check. No one's coming in.
Yeah.
And they're like, you don't get to decide that. And I was like, I'm not going to make any money if I come in on a day like this. And then I got fired. Because they're like, you don't get to determine when you come into work.
Right.
But I also dug my heels in, like, but look at it outside. How many coats are there going to be checked?
Oh my God. I would fire you right away.
Yeah. Oh, I was fired right away. I mean, oh, they loved God. Me. They loved me there, but they fired me anyway.
Yeah.
And the Martha Stewart one, they fired me.
They had to.
I honestly got fired every waitress job I ever had. I got fired one job because I made up stuff about the wines.
What do you mean?
Because we were in competition to like win who could sell the most wine.
Okay.
And I didn't really know the wine. And so I would just make stuff up. I'd be like, yeah, it's kind of flowery with like a fruity layer to it. Or like this one, it's a little chestnut. Like I would just make stuff
chestnutty.
Up. Chestnutty. And like it has some, you know, acidic undertones. Like whatever came to mind, I would just make up. And one time the owner overheard me and was like, what is she doing? Like,
bubblegum.
What is she just?
Cabernet doesn't taste like bubblegum.
Like she's just making stuff up. And I think I didn't know the difference between like saute and broil. They were like, is the fish sauteed or broiled? And I just like said something. And then they were like,
no. Both.
Yeah. I was like, you mean like, is it cooked in a pan? So yeah, I was bad.
Oh,
I was bad
God.
In restaurants.
You're like, it's pan saute broil grill.
Yeah, yeah. I would just make up whatever.
That is amazing. Honestly, and with wine, you can probably get away with it because so much of it is bullshitting.
And I was selling the most. I mean, I really was doing a good job. So I was actually really shocked that they fired me over it because I was like, but I'm selling all this wine.
Right. She said unicorn tears. I must try this wine.
That was the only restaurant where I felt like I could even waitress there because it was a small Italian restaurant on the Upper West Side. So it was very chill.
What was that? Do you remember the name?
I don't. Yeah. It was really neat. It was around the corner from where I lived. And I lived on, I think it was like Tiemann Place. It was like called Tiemann Place.
I don't know. I don't know much
so
about
it. So far Upper West Side. And this little Italian place was around the corner and I would walk to work.
Yeah.
And I met this German girl who ended up being my roommate. And she was like the most beautiful girl I had ever seen. Uh-huh. And it was like hard to be friends with her because like everywhere we went, she would get hit on.
Right.
And then she became my roommate, but then she never came back from Germany. So she went to Germany, never came back. And she just kept sending gorgeous German girls to be my roommates. And amazing. I had like I felt like I was like running a youth hostel for like gorgeous German girls.
I think you were a madam.
Yeah, I think I was a madam. And then it was so funny because finally all of the Germans ran out and I got this guy who was from somewhere else. I don't know where he was from, but it doesn't matter. But he would...
He was from Israel.
Yeah, he was from Southern America somewhere. South America somewhere. And he
Southern America is how it's pronounced.
He was from South America. And he would just eat tuna every day out of a can. Every day he would eat tuna and it smelled up the entire apartment.
Oh my God.
And it was awful.
What?
I was like, I want my German, the girls that smelled good. I want them back.
Yeah, get Argentinian tuna fish guy out
of
here.
Yeah, get him out.
Get Peruvian tuna wherever man out
of he
here.
Was from. It's a perfectly nice guy, but yeah, the tuna was a problem.
Yeah. Speaking of low-end things,
yes,
like tuna,
yeah.
What a transition. What is the best low-end meal you've ever had?
Oh, best low-end meal.
This could be a street taco, a shawarma, a falafel.
Yeah. I mean, everything in Israel was so good. Yeah. Like all the falafel on the street. I mean, it didn't taste low-end, but it was.
Yeah.
That's probably the best I've had as far
really
as. Because it didn't taste low-end.
No. It's great.
But you just grab it on the street corner and it's like amazing.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Favorite drunk food? We got drunk a couple times together.
We did.
I don't know that we did late night. Once we went to the Arias place, but I think I just ate there.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm in LA, I'll just go to In-N-Out and get the vegetarian version of their hamburger.
Oh my God. And what is the vegetarian version of their hamburger?
So it's just a cheese sandwich. And it is so funny because they won't call it a cheese sandwich. So one time I got in this big argument with one of the guys working there, who is just standing outside helping orders. And okay. He's like, so you want the veggie burger? And I was like, well, there's no burger in it, right? And he goes, yeah, but it's, we call it a veggie burger. And I was like, but then it's not a veggie burger. It's just a cheese sandwich, right? And he goes, well, it is a veggie burger. And he goes, like, and then he goes, think about it. What makes it vegetarian? And I said, that it doesn't have a burger in it. He goes, exactly. So that's why we call it a veggie burger. And I was like, this isn't making any sense. And we just kept going back and
forth. You dug in your heels.
Oh, again.
You're a heel dugger.
I'm a bit of a
heel digger.
I'm a little stubborn.
Yeah.
A little stubborn.
I don't know that I saw that part of you.
Really?
I mean, did anything happen where...
Well, I was stubborn in ways that helped you. That's why you liked it. Because I would be like, no, let's keep walking through Eastern Jerusalem at our own risk because we're almost there.
Right.
And then... Also late at night when we were like, should we go to bed? I was like, well, let's just find something.
Yeah.
And I think I was a little stubborn.
That's not heel diggery though. I want to see the heel diggery side of you.
You don't think you saw it at all?
I don't know. Maybe I did. Maybe I'm forgetting.
What about when I forced you to come to the Dead Sea? Remember when you were like, were unsure about going and I was like, come on, Dan, I'm not ever going to forgive you if you don't come.
Yes. And that was saved you from sexual assault.
That would be Avi who saved me.
That's true.
Tell them that story.
We were at the Dead Sea, which is a sea that's dead. It's so full of salt water.
It's so cool.
That you float in it.
It was on my bucket list of things I wanted to do before I die.
Yeah, you put your dad's ashes in there.
I did.
Which was kind of sentimental and also creepy at the same time. Erica just brought her dad's ashes to Israel and just would fucking spread them anywhere. She'd like,
they floated away.
Just put them everywhere. There's some at the Taco Bell shawarma place in East Jerusalem.
He would have loved that. He would have loved it. Just sprinkled them all around his homeland since he was Jewish.
Yeah. So we were in the Dead Sea and we were, Erica
they abandoned
was in the water.
Me. I was in the water and Avi and Dan were on land.
Yeah, we were on land. We were laying down, just like taking in the sun, having a nice time. And these two like Arab teenagers started making their way towards Erica and they, and Erica is a very friendly person. She'll talk to everyone and make friends. So, you can take it away from here. You start.
Yeah.
Talking
so I talked to, they both had their phones out and they're both like selfieing themselves, like in the Dead Sea, which I was like, wow, they must have like waterproof phones or whatever. And I'm floating and I'm smiling and they're smiling back at me. And then one of them waves me over and I was like, what? And he goes, picture. And I was like, okay. So I like kind of pose. I like did a peace sign or whatever. And he goes, no, closer, come. And so I'm like, oh, well, okay, a little closer. So I come a little closer. And then before I know it, he has his arm around me. And then he goes, kiss. And I go, no, I'm not kissing you. Just one kiss, friend. And then the other one comes closer and they're both like, friend, kiss. And they wanted a kiss and they start like grabbing my arm a bit. And finally I like start floating. I was like, no.
Now,
and I got mad.
I'll tell you from land. Here's what's happening. I'm smoking a hookah, having a beer. Just
Dan,
really
Dan makes
life.
Friends also with everyone. So he was making friends with the bartender there.
Yeah, me and the bartender.
You guys like hit it off.
We were having a great time.
Yeah.
Oh, he had a fun name. I forgot.
He was also Arab, right?
He was. He was from Jenin.
Yeah.
He was from the West Bank. He was a very nice guy. Tipped him $40, which is probably like his rent.
He like almost cried.
He almost cried.
Yeah.
Dan Adut, bringing Middle Eastern peace. $1 at a time.
Yep, there you go.
So Avi and I are sitting down, and I'm smoking my hookah, and we're chilling out.
Chilling.
And we see these two guys are like, taking pictures with Erica, and it's a little bit off in the distance. And Avi freaks out. He's like, oh no. I'm like, what? He's like, Arab teenagers, they're not gonna let her go. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, we gotta save her. And he was so like, charged, and Avi's like kind of a charged guy as is.
Yeah.
So I was just like, Avi, fucking relax. She's an adult. She can take care of herself. And he's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, it's fine, dude. He's like, I don't think so. They're gonna start grabbing her tits and stuff. I'm like, dude, relax. And he like lays down, and then we see Erica trying to like swim away, like in this like
in
floating
sea.
And these guys are like hopping towards her, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? Maybe you should save her, Avi. And I was like, Erica,
get back over here. And they see that, like, she's
there's
with
a man.
Men,
yeah.
And then they kind of let it go. But
yeah, and then I came back on land, and Dan was like, yeah, I thought it was okay if you were raped, but Avi wanted to protect you.
Yeah, that was the second time I almost got you raped.
Yeah, Dan was on a mission to get me raped in Israel. He's like, it'll be a good memory.
It was a different kind of Mission Impossible, you know? Just making memories.
Oh my God, we have so many memories there.
So... favorite hangover cure? Do you have a... You don't really drink until you get drunk that much.
Not really, so. But I would say that, like, I was... Well, actually, that place I was talking about... Oh God, I wish I remembered that. I'm so bad at names.
Which one? The Israeli place?
No, the place here where they have, like, that, like, veggie... Like, basically a breakfast sandwich.
Oh, the vegan breakfast sandwich.
Yeah,
place.
That's, okay. Like, really good hangover food.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Yeah.
Favorite celebrity food personality? I know it's not Martha Stewart.
Probably, well, I don't know a lot of them, to be honest. I mean besides Dana Duke.
I was going to say, you're sitting across the host.
Yeah,
the
I mean, the
podcast.
Number one food, it's hard not to say you, but I also don't, you already have a big enough head.
Yeah.
Maybe Anthony Bourdain.
I need to make this question favorite celebrity food personality besides Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, I would imagine everyone would say him.
Yeah, he gets it a lot.
Yeah.
So think of a different one.
Think of a different one. Oh, God. I mean, Martha Stewart?
No, you didn't even recognize her.
But my sister loved her as a kid.
I love that her daughter is like her fucking...
Yeah, her daughter was
conciliary.
Kind of bitchy, to be honest.
She had her own TV show called...
Her daughter?
Called Whatever Martha, which is her and her friend watching old Martha Stewart episodes and like roasting them.
Ugh.
She lives under her mom's. She's all. That's her identity. Is Martha?
Yeah. I feel sad for. Wait. I feel like there's like an Instagram person that makes stuff.
Okay.
We're devolving.
There's an Instagram person.
I guess it's just you and Anthony Bourdain that I know.
You're very good at describing things. You know that restaurant in New York with the number.
You know the.
Oh, the most famous American restaurant in history, along Madison Park. Yes, I do know that restaurant with the number.
With the number.
Desert island food. You're on a desert island. There's one food you're going to eat for the rest of your life. You're never going to get tired of it.
Pancakes.
Pancakes?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I love pancakes.
Just a regular pancake?
Just love a good pancake. Any kind of pancake. It's such a comfort food for me.
Pancakes
and it
reminds
me of my childhood. And it feels like I could just do it for a while.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
What is yours?
My desert island food?
Yeah.
That I'll never get tired of? Yeah. I think it's pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get sick of pizza real fast.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can eat
I can
every
only,
single day.
Really?
Yeah. Never
I can get only tired. Have it like once a month.
Do you have it scheduled? Is there like a reminder on your...
No, but every time I eat it, I'm like, feel kind of blah after.
Oh, right. Because you're intolerant.
Because I'm a little bit low
and it
tolerance.
It makes you fat the next day. You wake up the next day and you need to get your stomach stapled because you had a pizza.
Pretty much. Dan also was like, "You, why aren't you working out on this trip?"
Okay. That's... Oh, my God. That is not...
You were like, "If I, just, the only reason I'm not working out is because I broke my foot." What's your excuse, you big fatty?
This is not true, everyone.
Yes, it is completely true. 110% true.
No, it's not true.
Verbatim.
I said, oh, I'm so envious of you because I'm recovering from a broken ankle and I'm not able
this
to work
not
out.
Not all how you worded
And that's
this.
Cool that you're able to, but you don't. But
no,
you don't.
None of those words happened in that order. He was like, "What are you doing, you fatty? Why aren't you on the treadmill, you fat?"
This is not true.
Overweight American.
Oh my God. Absolutely not true.
100% true.
Nope. Yep. I deny it. I deny. Jeez. Now do you guys get why I was trying to get her raped? What? Is there a food that you can't stand eating?
Yeah, eggplant.
Really?
Yeah, not an eggplant.
Really?
Yeah, I hate it.
That's a bummer. Any like all forms?
No, I mean, I've had good eggplant and I'll eat it. Sometimes it's good, but I just don't like the consistency of it.
Yeah, as a vegetarian forward person, as a pescatarian.
I still love eggplant.
Really?
Yeah.
I get it. You're not into mush.
Slimy.
You're
like it's mushy.
Yeah, you're like you have a 4-year-old's palate. Like
no,
a 4-year-old.
Mommy, it's mushy, mommy.
It's called sophistication. That's definitely, I know, not what you it's haven't called. Heard of it, but some of us worked at the best restaurant in the country.
It has a number in the name.
It has a number. It had a number in the name. 11th Madison. Yeah, I remember walking to Madison. Why didn't I find a rich husband when I was 21? That's when I should have.
That was your chance.
Stupid. Oh my God.
Way higher chance there than at the Haha Cafe. Where you'll be performing tonight. Last question. This is my favorite question.
Okay.
What is or what are your restaurant pet peeves?
I don't know if this counts, but I cannot stand when they're moving the chairs and they do not pick them up. And they drag it on the floor and you hear,
that's a really good one.
I can't stand it. I will get up and leave.
I don't think anyone's ever said that before.
Really?
I love that one.
I'm very sensitive to sound and it is, and it's so easy to pick. Like, I'll even yell. I'll be like, can you pick it up? Pick up the chair.
You know, something that you and I had in common, which I really enjoyed, was that you actually have, you believe in etiquette when you're eating. You don't like, you don't like gross talk.
Yeah.
Neither do I. Hate it. I abhor it.
Yeah.
And Avi loved it. And we had a, we would have to.
Not when we're eating.
We'd have to keep checking him.
Yes. Yeah.
Poor Avi.
We love you, Avi.
We love you, Avi. But okay, so that's a great one. The dragging of the chairs.
Yeah, I
is
cannot
fantastic.
Stand the dragging of the chairs. And it's so easy to pick. And I can't stand when someone's getting up to leave and they drag the chair out to stand up.
Oh, wait. So when you get up, you're picking up the chair?
No,
like you put your hand under the chair as you're getting up and get up with the chair? Like,
no, I usually sit with my chair far enough so that I can just stand up and be out of my chair without dragging the chair out.
Okay, so you're telling me that you're sitting on the edge of the front seat.
I'm doing it right now.
So that...
Demonstration.
Nothing better than demonstrations over a podcast.
If you missed that, I just got up out of my chair without dragging it backwards because I'm also a trained cellist. Thank you very much.
That's right.
And we always sit on the edge of our seat anyway.
I told you this. My mom doesn't like women playing the cello.
Wow.
I told you this. Do you remember why?
I don't remember because it's unladylike.
Because you have to open up your legs.
I know. I wrote a joke where I was like, I was a philosophy cello major in college, so I could think deep thoughts while I opened my legs for no money.
That's good.
Thanks. That's for your mom.
Rachel, we love you. That's a good one. You have any others?
Other pet peeves?
Yeah.
I really hate when they, I mean, this is something that they almost always do now, but I really hate when they clear one person's plate before other people are done eating.
Yes.
I hate the rushed thing.
Yeah.
And I dated one guy once where this shows the kind of guy I've dated, but where he, we were like the last ones in the restaurant, mm-hmm. and this waitress like dropped the check and she goes, no rush, but here's the check. And he goes, can I just ask you something? How would you behave differently if you were to rush us?
That's hilarious. What did she say?
She like almost cried. It was a big scene. Then he ended up apologizing. He felt bad. And like, yeah, it was a big whole thing. She's like, she didn't know what to say.
Oh,
she's like, I didn't mean to rush. I don't know. And she got all flabbergasted. And yeah, it was bad. but I guess the point is, I think it's very rude if someone's still eating to clear the other people's plates.
I'm with you 100%. And actually, this is a little PSA.
Yeah.
If you're eating and you finished, do not put your fork, your cutlery at 2 o'clock on the plate because that is a sign that you're done.
Oh.
If you keep them on different sides, let's say your fork at 2 o'clock, your knife at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
They shouldn't take your plate. A good restaurant will know not to take your plate.
Okay.
But if you're putting them at 2 o'clock, you're putting the challenge in front of them of like, it's a little tough because some people don't like to have an empty plate of food in front of them.
Yeah.
Which to me is fucking dumb and weird.
Yeah.
But
just feel like it's like you're a party of how many guests there are. And so they shouldn't clear anyone's plate until the last person is done.
I have repeatedly said, do you mind not taking the plates until everyone's done?
Yeah.
When they'll take mine if I'm done. I also think it's a very important thing to time your eating with the other people that you're eating with.
Really?
So that you're not sitting there done with your food.
I don't think you can control that. That's like asking you to control, you know, your metabolism and how you eat. And
no, it's not. It's looking at how much is on their plate and saying, okay, I'm going to pace myself.
Well, I don't know. I don't expect people to pace accordingly.
Well,
but that can be your pet peeve.
Dana Dude is a very, I'm a tender
snob.
A tender lover at the dinner table. I will make sure that your needs are met.
Is that why you ate so slowly when we were out?
Yeah, I wanted to pace it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't really.
Erica Rhodes, tell the people where they can find you.
They can find me on my website, ericarhodescomedy.com.
And it's Rhodes like the Greek island.
Yes, or the scholar, R-H-O-D-E-S.
Like
or
the scholar.
They can find me on my Instagram, which is just Erica Rhodes.
Ironically, you were named after a very smart scholar.
Yes, except what they don't know is that my name was changed from Rosenblum, my grandfather's side. So I am Jewish.
Yeah. Not
half
the right
Jewish,
part, though.
Not the right side, which I found out trying to find a man in Israel. And none of all the women tried to set up their daughters with Dan, and no one tried to set me up with anyone.
That was the best.
That was horrible. They'd all come up to you and they'd be like, I have a daughter for you. I have a daughter. Are you single? Are you single? And then for me, it was like, so who's Jewish? Oh, my dad. Oh, nice to meet you. It was such a weird form of rejection.
Oh, it was so good because it was so transparent. They wouldn't even try to hide it.
No.
It was like, oh, you're worthless to us.
Yeah. Okay. And then they just stare at me.
Amazing. Yeah. Erica, this was a delight. You are a delight.
You
I'm
are
so
too.
Happy that we got to spend so much time in Israel and eat together. It was very fun. You're
me
a very
too.
Fun dining partner.
Oh, thank you.
Please stop bombarding my phone with your fridge pick now.
Okay, fine. I mean, can I do like a before after? Can I do an after, like look at my new fancy fridge now that I stopped shopping at Erewhon?
You don't have to do that because this episode will never air. I'm just doing this to make you stop sending me those goddamn texts.
So sad.